Well, we saw that there are four different kinds of death, basically, in the Bible. And a lot of times when you hear the word death, you immediately think of physical death. And that's just one of them. We said there was spiritual death, in which we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Every human being comes in the world spiritually dead. We said there was a physical death. That's the result of spiritual death. God told Adam and Eve, in the day they eat the fruit, dying they shall surely die. Dying spiritually, they'll die physically. And that's what's happened to every human being. We come into the world spiritually dead. We also end up physically dead. There is a thing called the eternal death, or the second death, which is if something doesn't happen, if something's not done, a person's going to come into the world spiritually dead, they die physically, and then they, in a sense, will have the second death or the eternal death. They'll be separated from God forever. There is a fourth kind of death which deals with believers, and we talked about it. We called it temporal, and that's what happens when we have sin in our lives and we break our fellowship with God. And so, in a sense, we're dead then. It's temporal death because we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. So that's the four deaths that we looked at, and when we begin to look at how the victory is in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? That passage is dealing primarily with physical death because it's talking about the death and resurrection of Christ. But I love verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about the deaths, and we saw the first two last week, so we'll go a little bit quickly through the first two. First one is spiritual death. We were spiritually dead. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, but He makes us alive. We have the handout, or the overhead, which shows the two different kinds of people. I just want to remind you that quickly. But unbeliever has a body, soul, conscience, and flesh. We don't have a spirit. We're not spiritually alive. We're spiritually dead. The body holds everything together. The soul relates to the world. Conscience tells us right from wrong. That's God's law written in our hearts. And then we have a natural bent to sin called the flesh. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, He makes us alive. We have a body, soul, conscience, flesh, still has that, but now we have a human spirit. We're spiritually alive. And by the grace of God also, the Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of us. So if you look at Ephesians 2, look at verse 1. I'm just going to go very quickly, but it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He's not talking about physical death there. Of course, He's talking about spiritual death. We were spiritually dead. But look at verse 4, and I love verses 4 and 5. He says, but God, being rich in His mercy because of His great love which He loved us. Now, this is something that we can never take for granted. We talk a lot about it this morning in Titus chapter 2. Titus 3 has so much in there, especially the verses we look at today on the whole issue of what God has done for us. But notice what it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love which He loved us. Watch. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, that's sins, He made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. We were dead, but He made us alive. We were spiritually dead. He makes us spiritually alive. I like the verse that goes on to say, of course, by grace you have been saved and raised up with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the first aspect of being dead is spiritual death. But when you come to Jesus Christ as Savior, when you put your faith in Him, you are saved. Spirit, in a sense, not only you're saved, but you are made spiritually alive. Because if you go on with the passage, it goes on to verse 8 and says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, get to God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the first aspect of death there is that we were dead spiritually, we're now alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know that verse. If any man be in Christ, we're what? New creation. We were dead. We were an old thing, you might say. Now we're new. One thing I mentioned this morning in church, and that sometimes we don't get it, is God doesn't take us and take something old and says, I'm just going to make it a lot better. I'm going to kind of change it around. He makes us a new person in Christ. If anyone be in Christ, old things are passed away. New things are come. We're a new creation. So we're spiritually alive. And I think that's the most powerful thing. So the first death that we saw last week, and if you got questions or comments, anytime we talk about this, raise your hand. Doesn't matter. Just stop me where we are if you got a question or a comment, and we'll deal with it. But I just realize that we were dead in sins, and now we're alive in Christ. He's conquered spiritual death. And none of us in this room, all of us who have trusted in Christ, none of us are spiritually dead. We're all spiritually alive. Okay, any questions or anything before we go to physical death? Because we just touched on this last week. Anything? Okay, the second kind of death is physical death. We come into this world spiritually dead, And ultimately, we die physically. That's the consequences of sin. And the consequences of sin continue on. Now, how has God dealt with the problem of physical death? Now, there's going to come a time when there will be no more death, period. But as we live on this earth, He allows the fact that people still die physically, even after they put their faith in Christ and become alive spiritually. Physical death still carries on. I think part of the reason for physical death is to continually remind us that we're fallen people, that we sin, that we owe God death, that God in His grace has saved us, so we don't forget that. But how in the world does He deal with physical death? How does He solve it? Well, you remember in 1 Corinthians 15, one of the issues. Now, the Corinthian church had all kinds of issues. I mean, they were in trouble in every area. There were divisions and lawsuits and everything you can name they were doing wrong. But one of the things they were doing wrong is they were denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 15, his point is that Jesus Christ died and rose again, conquering death. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? There's not one. So how in the world did God deal with physical death? He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Physical death is not the end. Now, I've talked about it last week. There are a lot of good things pastors get to do. I get to be there when people have babies. I get to be there when they get married. I get to be... But one of the sad things that pastors get to do is you get to be there when people die. And a lot of times I've done funerals. But one great thing about a funeral, one great thing about this whole aspect, death is not the end. Because God has conquered death. Jesus Christ has conquered physical death. Every human being is going to rise again. I mentioned this Sunday morning. I mentioned this in the first service, that death is not the end. Jesus Christ died and rose again and conquered death. And that means every human being is going to be raised from the dead. Jesus has conquered physical death not just for believers, but for every human being. And what's going to happen one day is that every human being is going to be raised from the dead. Not going to happen all at the same time. When we get to the last part of our study and we talk about what happens when people die, I'm going to show you that there's different aspects of the resurrection. And there are going to be people raised at different times. But even unbelievers, every unbeliever, everyone who's never trusted in Christ from all history, one of these days they will all be raised from the dead in a physical body to go on forever, to live forever. Now, living forever, as I mentioned in church, is not the same as having eternal life. Everybody's going to live forever. They will live forever separated. He's going to give them a body. He's conquered physical death. He's going to give them a body that will never wear out. For us, He's going to raise us from the dead physically. If there's going to be one generation that will never die physically, because when He comes in the clouds, dead in Christ rise first, we who are alive and remain to be caught up together. Some generation, and we hope it's us. Every generation has always thought it was them. We always say, yeah, it's going to be us. Jesus is going to come any second, and He could. And we're going to be the ones who not die physically. But if we do, if we die physically, one of these days, He's going to raise that body up, and we will be with Him forever. There's a passage in Philippians. Listen to what this says. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state," this humble body as He calls it, "into conformity with the body of His glory." A glorious body. People always call it glorified bodies. That's what they use. But what a glorified body really is a body that will go on forever. Because see, because of sin, we die physically. You get older and your body begins to wear out. It's an amazing thing. You think it won't happen. If you're young, you think it's not going to happen. And you look around at these other people and you go, and it's sad. Look at those people. Hair gets gray, hair falls out, you know, everything like that. Can't see. Their leg, they walk like this. Go, what's wrong? I've got a bad leg. My leg's getting off. I've got arthritis. And you say, poor things. Well, it'll never happen to me. Yeah, well, if you live long enough, it'll happen to you. If you've ever been to a nursing home and you see those people and you go, oh, boy, I hope it never happens to me. If you live long enough, it's going to happen to you. Because part of the fall is physical death. Now, He's conquered it. And one of these days, you're going to have a body that will never wear out. It won't get old in that sense. It'll go on forever and ever and ever and ever. You have, as a believer, because of this, you have eternal life, which is life forever with Jesus Christ. Unbelievers have, they're going to live forever, but it's going to be separated. Jesus Christ has conquered physical death. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that there's a mortal body, there'll be an immortal body. There's a corruptible body, it'll be an incorruptible body. That's what you're going to have. Now, before we go to the third kind of death, which is eternal death, any questions about spiritual death or physical death? Yes.
On the unbelievers, will they be living with the, like you said, all of the bodies will be coming back?
Mm-hmm. They'll be raised from the dead.
And the believers will be living together in the same...
You mean forever?
Yeah.
No. She asked, where will the unbelievers and the believers be? Will they be living together and all that? We're going to see it in a lot of detail when we get to what happens after we die. But when unbelievers are raised from the dead, they're raised from the dead at a time called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's found in Revelation chapter 20, the last part of chapter 20, Revelation. They will be, the books of life will be opened. Anyone's name not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire is what people have always called hell. The Bible doesn't use the word. It is a place of separation from God forever. Unbelievers will be raised. Their names are not found written in the book of life. How do you get your name written in the book of life? Faith. So they're unbelievers. They didn't have faith in Christ. So they're separated forever. So they will live, they will be forever in the lake of fire, separated. Believers will be with Jesus Christ. We have what's called eternal life, because eternal life is with Christ forever. So believers and unbelievers will not be together for all eternity. They'll be separated from God forever for all eternity. We'll be with Jesus Christ forever for all eternity. Okay, that's the how physical death is called. But everybody's going to live forever. That's because death is conquered. Questions, comments, anything on physical death or even spiritual death? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Right. That's the best we can. She asked, they have the same bodies. Historically, people have always said, okay, we're going to have a glorified body. And then the question would be, would an unbeliever have a glorified body? And what most people mean by a glorified body is a body that will never decay or wear out. Obviously, they're going to have a body that will last forever because Jesus Christ has conquered death and physical death. That's it. You'll go on forever. So whether we want to call it glorified, because when we say glorified body, that sort of sounds like it's something pretty special. And that's maybe more like Jesus. But I've always said they're going to have a body. Whatever we want to call it, they're going to have a body that will go on forever and ever and ever. Yeah. What else? Yes. For what the lake of fire is like. Yeah, one good thing about it, all of us who know Christ, we won't ever even deal with lake of fire. But the lake of fire was a place, according to Matthew 24, was prepared for the devil and his angels. When Lucifer sinned and some of the angels went with him, he has prepared a place of eternal separation for those beings. Originally, that was not for man, so to speak, but because man then rebelled against God and did not believe, the ones that do not believe, they're going to have to be eternally separated. The lake of fire, according to Matthew and some other places, it is a place, and it's hard to understand because he uses terms that we're not sure if we can understand, but it's a place which is in outer darkness. It is also a place of fire. It is a place of eternal torments. It is a place that people will be tormented. And you know, I have people come to me and say, God would never torment people forever. Listen, all I know is what it says. I'm not the one that chooses how God does things and what he says. His word says they will be tormented forever. Now, you know, if God said, I said that, but I didn't really do that, that's up to him, you know. But when I look at the scripture, that's what it says. So it's going to be a terrible place. I think that, you know, today, do unbelievers have the presence of God? He does. Does he rain? Does he even rain on the just and the unjust? Can an unbeliever call out to God right now? But what makes the lake of fire so unique? They're separated from God. I think part of the aspect of what we call hell is the fact that they're separated eternally from God. Plus, how can it be darkness and fire We just don't get it. We don't understand it. But it's a terrible place. And when you read that, what you should say to yourself is, even the worst person that you know, you don't want them to go there. Because it's bad. Yeah.
Debbie, in the account of the rich man and Lazarus, he said, I'm tormented and explained.
Right.
And by the way, then he said, send Abraham to put one drop of water on my tongue. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. He said, well, then send him to go tell my brothers. Mm-hmm. So people that are lost and die, the thing that they want to uphold is for us or somebody to go tell her.
That's right. I think it's a great point Jerry just brought up. A lot of times people think when people die, you know, especially unbelievers, that they don't care and they wish everybody would go to hell with them, so to speak. But according to Luke 16, and we're going to get that next week. Luke 16 it talks about a place called Hades. Old Testament word is Sheol. That's not the lake of fire. It's a different place. If you want to be prepared for next week, look at Luke 16. On one side is a place called paradise. On the other side is a place called torments. There's a great gulf down the middle. And we'll talk more about this before Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again. But that was not a good place to be. It was a place of torments. It wasn't the final resting place. But his point was, please send somebody back and tell my brothers about this so that they won't go to the lake of fire. Now, you remember the answer. The answer was, they have the word of God. That was the answer. But, yeah, it's going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And when I do a funeral, I know this, that when a person has died and they know Christ, that's their body, but they're with the Lord. And we'll talk more about that next week. But I guarantee you, if that person could be there right then, they would say, listen, anyone in this room, believe in Jesus today so you can have eternal life and you can be with me for all eternity because I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ. Or, if that person had not trusted Christ, they would give anything to stand up and say to their friends and loved ones, please don't let what happened to you what happened to me. I did not believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am separated from Him forever. Please believe in Him as Savior. I think that's exactly what... So when I do a funeral and I know the person has put their faith in Christ, I tell them, I said, listen, if they were here today, they would want you to put your faith in Christ if you never have. Physical death is a sad thing, but it's not the end because Jesus Christ has conquered physical death. Yes?
Okay, like the opposite of life is death. And you live forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand.
Mm-hmm.
How can you die forever?
Okay, you got to remember that death is not the opposite of life. Death is separation. The word death doesn't mean opposite of life. It means separation. So when you die physically, what happens? There is a separation of the body from the soul. When you die spiritually, when a person comes up, they're separated from God. That's why when we're spiritually alive, we're back into fellowship with God. When we die, when there's an eternal death, and that's why it calls it the second death, it doesn't mean that you're not alive. It means you're separated. So if we think of death not as opposite of life, but we think of death as separation, because that's what it really is, then it'll help you because you say, okay, it's not that I'm not alive. It's that I'm not with God. That's what physical death is, separation of body from the soul, and eternal death is separation from God. That help? Yeah. Anything else? Okay, let's go to the third thing, which is some of the time that we have left. Let's look at eternal death. Now, that's the one we've just been talking about, and Harriet brought it up and said, tell us a little bit about this eternal death, and we'll get more later when we really get to where people go and all that. But it's often called the second death. It's eternally separated from God. People who are dead spiritually and then die physically will experience what they call eternal death or the second death, which is separation from God. But God has a provision so that people do not have to be eternally separated from God. That's Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin, not only did he conquer the fact that we're spiritually dead, not only did he conquer the fact that we could be physically dead, he has conquered that whole issue of eternal separation from God. The Bible, most famous verse in the Bible is what? What verse does everybody know? Or everybody think they know? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is with him forever. He has conquered eternal death by saying, you can believe in Jesus and instead of being eternally dead, separated forever, you can have eternal life and be with me forever. He has conquered that. That's why I think that John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. Then 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish. See, I love that. They will never perish. Nobody can pluck in my hand. My Father gave to me is greater than all. Nobody can pluck in my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So, incredible verses there. He gives us eternal life. Now, that's why when we talk to people about salvation, what we're offering to them is not a good life. We're offering them eternal life. When you talk to people about Christ, you're not saying to them, listen, if you believe in Jesus, you know, you'll be able to make it to college better and God will be with you. And maybe No. That's not the offer. That's true, but that's not the offer. The offer is, I give you eternal life. We're trusting in Christ to keep from being separated from Him forever, which is the second death. He has a way, He has a plan to keep us to conquer spiritual death. Eternal death. Remember, we're spiritually dead, we'll die physically, we'll be eternally separated. He has a plan that says, no, I'm going to fix it where you can be spiritually alive, I'm going to conquer death so that you won't ever die physically, that I'm going to raise you from the dead and you'll live forever, and I've got a way that you don't have to be eternally separated from me. And that's through Jesus Christ. And He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to the Father except through Him. That's the provision. Listen to this. If you want to turn there, you can. If you don't want to turn there, it's Revelation chapter 20. It's verse 6. He says this. And it says, blessed and holy is the one who has the part in the first resurrection. Now the first resurrection, and we'll talk more about it next week. First resurrection is the person who has believed in Jesus Christ and has been raised from the dead to be with Him forever. It's called first resurrection. It's how He's conquered physical death and His spiritual death and even eternal death. Now listen to what He says. Blessed and holy is the one who has the part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. The second death is eternal death. That's the eternal separation from God forever. He says, if you have trusted in Christ and you're in the first resurrection because you died and rose again with Christ, if that's true, then the second death can't ever touch you. So think about it. A person comes into this world and they're spiritually dead. They go through life. They never believe in Jesus. They die physically. And then they are in what we might call the second death. They're eternally separated from God. And God says, that doesn't have to happen. I have a provision. That is, when this person comes in this world dead in trespasses and sins, and on their way to physical death, and on their way to eternal death, I have sent my Son to die for them, to pay for sin, and rise again. If they will believe in Jesus, they will go from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. They will have the resurrection of the dead because Jesus Christ has conquered death for everyone, not just believers. And because they're in the resurrection of Christ, the first resurrection, the second death can never touch them. And they will be eternally separated from the second death to be eternally with Jesus Christ. What great truth. Every one of you in this room who have believed in Jesus, you are spiritually alive. You will live forever physically. Even if you die physically, He's going to raise you up. And you will never be separated from God ever. The second death can't touch you. Yes. First Thessalonians 4. That's a great question. When Jesus Christ, this is something that has puzzled a lot of people. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for sin, it said that when the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, at the same time, graves were open, obviously, of people who had already believed in Jesus. Then it says that after He rose from the grave 3 days later, some of these people were raised from the grave. Now, the question, it doesn't mention any more about them. So who were these people? We don't know very much. We only have a couple of options. Oh, the same event. Right. Well, because that happened at the death and resurrection of Christ, not at his coming in the clouds. Because he makes it very clear in 1 Thessalonians that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and then he's going to come in the clouds. Then the dead in Christ rise first, their bodies, and then we are, and they're coming with the Lord. Their stolen spirits come with the Lord, their bodies are in the ground. So these people that rose, that were raised from the grave, when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, you know, at that death and resurrection part, nobody knows exactly who they were, and there's only a couple of options. Either the first option is that they were raised to never die again, and then when Jesus ascended to heaven, they ascended to heaven with him. We just didn't see it. Because if not, there's some 2,000-year-old people walking around the earth. Okay? The other option is, just as similar to Lazarus and the little girl, the 12-year-old girl, and the widow at Nain's son, that those people were raised, resuscitated, as they say, to die again. And that they will be raised in the real, in what we might call the big resurrection when he comes in the clouds. Does that make sense? Okay. Did anybody know that story about those people that were raised from the grave? There were some. But we're not sure whether they were resurrected or resuscitated. The difference is resuscitation is to be raised to die again. That's Lazarus and the widow at Nain and the son and the little 12-year-old girl. Resurrection is to be raised from the dead, never to die again. The first one to ever rise again, never to die again, is Jesus Christ. That's why he's the first fruits. He's the main one. Which one? I'm thinking Matthew 27, the last part of Matthew 27. It's been a while since I thought about that, but I'd have to look quickly. But it's the part where it says, let me see if I can find it. Okay, in Matthew 27:50, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in the two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city, appeared to many. That's Matthew 27, about verse 50 through about verse 53. Now, he makes it very clear that those people weren't raised from the dead till after Jesus' resurrection, and that they appeared to many. I think it was just so people would realize the power of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Eternal death is conquered. Now, no, was that the first bell or the second bell? First bell. Okay, we got a second. Let's talk about temporal death for a minute, and we'll get into this next week. We know that once we have been basically made alive, so spiritual death will never get us. We know that physically, even though we die physically, he's going to raise us from the dead, so physical death doesn't hold us. We know eternal, or the second death, will never get us because we're in Jesus Christ and we'll never be separated from him. But there's a fourth kind of death, and we call it temporal death. And it's for believers, not for unbelievers, it's for believers. That when we go through life, we're spiritually alive, we have fellowship with Christ, everything's going good, and then we sin. And when we sin, we, in a sense, move away from God. And wherever there's sin, the wages of sin is always what? Death, always. Doesn't matter what kind of death. There's going to be a death there. We call this temporal death because we have now lost our fellowship with God. Nothing to do with our relationship. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But we now lost our fellowship with God. And so we're dead. Well, I'm going to get to the verses next week, but in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 6, it talks about this. And in Romans, even chapter 8, says that if you sin, if you live according to the flesh, talking about believers now, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's not talking about eternal death. He's not talking about spiritual death. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about temporal death. And so the moment that I sin as a Christian, I die right there. Now, am I still spiritually alive? Yes. Is my body going to be raised from the dead? Yes. Am I going to ever be separated from God? No. I'm temporally dead right then. Now, how do we deal with that? Well, he has a plan. Jesus Christ died on the cross. It all goes back to his death and resurrection. Something I want to show you, and we'll get it next week. I know the bell's fixing to ring. But if you just listen to this verse, 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, the way it's written in the Greek says, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, did He pay for every sin that you've ever done, past, present, and future?
Yes.
And that's our positional forgiveness. What about when we sin right now? That's experientially. Do we need experiential forgiveness? Yes. That's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's talking to believers there, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. We're talking about experientially. We're talking about fellowship. He has a way to conquer even temporal death in our lives, and that's through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and the fact that we deal with our sins. He's faithful and just to put us back in the fellowship. Now, we'll get more detail on that next week. Any questions real quickly before we close? I know that was second bill, but they can't do anything till we're through. Right. Any questions, comments, anything about temporal death? Okay, if you have them, just get them ready for next week because we'll look at that. And then we'll start into this whole thing about what happens when we die. Where are we going to go? What about this Luke 16 and this place called paradise and the place called torments and the big gulf in between? And some people say that's just a story. Who told it? Anybody know? Jesus told it. And He didn't say it was a story. He said, there was a man named. Anytime Jesus does a parable, He doesn't give a name. Just notice that if you see a parable, Jesus never gives a name of a person in a parable. But whenever He says, there was a man by the name of, that's true. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for the conquering of death, spiritually, physically, eternally, even temporally, and it's all through Jesus Christ. Lord, may we never take it for granted. May we always understand how Jesus died and rose again, paying for our sins, giving us victory over physical death and victory over spiritual death and victory over eternal death and even victory over temporal death. Thank You, Lord, for these truths. Help us to understand and then be ready to tell other people also. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.